Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the person of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJonah.com and SalamJonah.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful and the most sensitive platform for truth anywhere, bar none, on the face of God's green earth. This is your platform for black education, liberation, and edification. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, what is the title, tell me, huh? Come on, talk to me. Mind magician. Here's what happens when the money runs out. Brothers and sisters, before we go into the show, I want to just explain to you what just happened right before the show started. I go to my Blog Talk Radio account, and I'm getting all kind of weird stuff on my screen. Then, afterwards, I go to the main page and refresh it so I can go to the studio so that I can pull up my dashboard and get ready for the show. And it was telling me, and I start, and immediately I was like, what is going on? So my wife was sitting in here, and she was looking too, and I'm like, what this thing is staying on here? And so it was giving me all kind of problems. And as soon as I told her that I was about to screenshot it on the phone, because, yes, I learned how to screenshot now. I was going to screenshot it, and I was going to post it on the Hiram1555 blog. As soon as I told her that, finally, I got access to the dashboard. And on there was telling me that today's show, Money Magician, here's what happened when the money runs out, actually came on yesterday. This is what it was showing me on the screen. And I'm like, what is going on here? I know it's scheduled for, that I couldn't come on yesterday or the day before yesterday, but I know it's scheduled for today. And up until about, I think about 7 minutes or 8 minutes before the show, it was showing me that on my screen. And finally, when I was talking to my wife and we were looking at this and I told her what I was about to do, it went from that and it started saying, you have 7 minutes or whatever till the show started or whatever. So it allowed me then to get on there. They are doing everything they can in their power to prevent this show from being successful. They're messing with the numbers. Every time we have a packed show, every time they show us indicators that there are hundreds and hundreds of people listening, when you go back to it a few minutes later, they'll show one or two or three people listen. It's crazy, but we know why they're doing this is because they're getting hurt. And, of course, when a demon or a devil is under attack under the onslaught of divine retribution and retaliation, they're going to hit back at those whom they feel that they can hit back at, which is us, you see? So they're trying to prevent you from getting knowledge, and they're trying to prevent me from giving it out to you. This is how they're going to try to wage their war, and they think showing you what's going on through scripture and prophecy, and then we'll let you hear what the devil says about his situation and what's going on. Mind magician. Here's what happened when the money runs out. Now, Brother Rashid was telling me something. I wasn't going to start the show like this, but Brother Rashid was texting me. I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday. I was teaching a martial arts class. And when I got time to sit down in my car, I went back out and I started looking at his text. He was telling me about the situation out on the dock, the shipping yard, and how they're cutting down. He said, the trade is looking bad, but this is a man who has the inside knowledge. He has the inside view of what's going on and how they're cutting days and how they're cutting hours out on the shipyard. And he says, it looks bad. Ships are not coming in and ships are not going out in the sense of how they used to. When they had so many ships in the yard and out there sitting, waiting to be unloaded. And this is not the case today. Because the situation that America is facing and that the world at large is facing is an economic attack. If you go back to, I believe it was 2014 or 2015, I did a show talking about Mad Max. And in this show, I was telling you about Mad Max will give you a glimpse of what you're going to see here in America. So many things are transpiring today. So many things are going on, but they want you to be preoccupied with foolishness. They want you to be preoccupied with sport and play. They want you to be preoccupied with the court TV. They want you to be preoccupied with the Kardashians. You know, the classic white women who get butt lifts and butt implants and lip implants and Botox faces and breast implants. You know, these people who are leading a revolution in this stuff around America, where people are feeling like, well, I have to get to something real quick. Let me backtrack because I want to talk about economics, but I also want to say something on this part here. You notice how the law hates us? Do you notice how the government hates us? Do you notice how we are always mocked and made fun of, yet they want to be like us? Huh? They want our mind. They want our posterior. They want our chest. They want everything that they make you mock yourself of. See, they'll make mock of you, and then they'll make you make mockery of yourself. Then they'll go out and tear in their skin and inject collagen in their lips, right? They'll darken their eyes. They'll put stuff in their hips and in their butt to look like you. Oh, that's what it is. And you go and blow your hair to look like them. The madness that is going on today. But this is what we're expecting, a day of straight confusion. You know, we're going to talk about this along the lines of the judge. Because remember that America is under a severe and intense judgment. And the Lord of the world has put out a universal embargo on America and the Western world. This is true. This is absolutely the truth. That's why they are so panicked. That's why they're so in a rush to do this, and they're trying to build up their weaponry, and they're trying to save their wealth. I was listening to an economist and somebody who was just an economic prognosticator. And as they were talking to each other, and they kept saying, well, the only way to preserve wealth is gold. It's going to be real bad when people are going to lose their wealth, and they're going to do this for gold and silver and this. We've got to do this because there's no way out of this. See, they see the ramifications of their policy. They see the ramifications of the judgment and the chastisement which is on them. And what they're trying to do now is to prevent themselves from looking like they're ex-slaves. What's the fall of America? Then I'll go to that after the other ride. Brothers and sisters, bear with me. And just bear with your brother, okay? I got plenty of clips for you to hear, and we're going to try to get to them quickly because they might block us. Disconnect me. I don't know how my microphone is right now. I don't even know if you can hear me because my screen keeps going in and out. Okay? And it's not the computers. Because it wouldn't do it on both computers. It's doing it on both computers. It just has to be the server, Blog Talk Radio, doing this, okay? I'm telling you, it's crazy. But let's go, Fall of America. Brothers, please have patience with you, brother, okay? This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And I read this first part in one show before, but I'm going to go a little further in it because I want you to see the magnitude of what has befallen America. And not just America, but the entire spectrum of mankind. Let me emphasize it. America is the greatest pillar of white domination. Therefore, she will be hit first, and she will be hit the hardest, because she is the one who has made mockery before the world of God's chosen people. She is the one who has upheld and has expanded the pillars and the reach of white exceptionalism. Therefore, she must be hit hard. It is with any building, with any house, with any structure, when the demolition crew comes in, they first find out the load-bearing walls or the load-bearing structures, or the one that carries the weight of the house. And they put the explosives to that first, because they know once that is no longer there, the house no longer will be able to stand, and it will implode upon itself, right? They do this in demolition of big cities with the big buildings. They go and set dynamite to the main pillars of these, and then you'll see them pancake down because they no longer have the load-bearing pillars. Same thing that God is doing to America. This is what God is doing to the world. He's removing America. Can you not see it in her mad policies? Do you not see it in her wishy-washy policy? One minute they're for this, and the next minute they're against it. The next minute this is their ally. Then when they get mad, they're the enemy. I'm going to sanction my allies. I'll wage war with my allies. I'll destabilize my allies. I'll sanction my allies. Hell, that ain't a good way to keep a friend, is it? But let's see. This chapter is titled The Judgment Near. Bear with me, brothers and sisters. I'm so happy to be on the air with you all again. I'm so happy. But I told y'all the last show, because we did so much work, so much damage to these devils, they might not let us on. That's what happened. The messenger writes, everywhere that we look and everything that we can think about marks the end of this world. There never was a time in the history of the United States of America that the president, meaning not just the president himself, but he's talking about the president and all those who are a part of the presidential administration, like Esper, like Pompeo, all of them who are galloping around the world trying to solidify their position with their allies and to try to make war amongst those whom they deem as their enemies, right? They do this on the orders of their president or their leader. Lester says, there never was a time in the history of the United States of America that the president goes out to try to visit the heads of all the nations that seem to be somewhat as equal. Did he just come back from India? He is like a criminal. Listen to this here. He is like a criminal who has committed a crime, and he hopes for mercy from those whom he has committed the crime against. We cannot escape our doom when it comes. Teaches the Holy Quran and the Bible. Now, he calls this man a criminal. He said he's like a, according to the dictionary, we're going to go to Google's dictionary. Because I want to get to a point that I want to go to the clips real quick, because I got so many of them that I want to play for you. Some that were a few days ago when we had the show, and some that I dissected, and I want you to hear for yourself from other, prognosticators and economic pundits, okay? But according to the dictionary, the word criminal means a person who has committed a crime, right? A lawbreaker, an offender, a villain, a delinquent, a malefactor, a culprit, right? Relating to a crime, unlawful, illegal, illicit, illegitimate. So while they're calling other nations regime, right, which delegitimizes those nations' government, we're looking at the regime here, which is a delegitimized government, which is America. This is ancient Babylon. This is modern Babylon. This is modern Egypt. This is what the scriptures had always told us to to look for. All the moves that you see America making, all of the policies that you see her instituting, these were all predicted in scripture, and we can point to them, and we can show you, and then we can show you the outcome of what would follow. Okay? So Muhammad goes further and says this. And you got to pardon me, brothers and sisters. I got to broaden off a little bit. It says, they showed no mercy at all to the black slave. They treated the black slave worse than any human being has ever been treated. They continue to do so in the face of divine judgment. So all that you see going on, the tornadoes, right, the wildfires, the hurricane, the hard wind, the flood, the rain, the devaluation of their currency, the loss in political standing domestically and globally, the loss of your position around the globe when it comes to the petrol, when it comes to regular gas, when it comes to trade with rare earths and minerals. All of these things are part of the judgment because she still refuses to do right by you and me here in America. This ain't even about China. This ain't about how she's doing Iran. This is about how she has done and how she continues to do God's chosen people in her midst. This is the house of Israel. And we are those sacred vessels that have been kept hidden and captive and mistreated and abused and made mockery of. So God himself said he was coming. God himself said he was going to make his presence known on his arrival. And he was going to use ancient Egypt and Babylon as signs of what you should expect when he attacks this modern-day Egypt, this modern-day Babylon. Don't you see it? All this stuff is related. But let's go further. He says, they remind you of the parable of the rich man and the poor man. Listen to this good, because I want you to take those things. This is the point I was trying to get to, because it has to do with the economics also. Okay? As long as the rich man enjoyed luxury, he cared nothing about luxury for his slaves, Lazarus. Then at last, the rich man fell into poverty, and he was unable to get help even for himself. The Bible says of the poor black slave that none helped him. Now the rich man get in the place of his one slave. The rich man can witness how it feels to be a poor man. The parable says, at last the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He saw his slave in the bosom of Abraham, in the heaven that the slave had been promised and that he would get into. Such a beautiful heaven that the poor slave was lolling around. And stop right there for a minute. So now, we have, according to scripture, that this rich man, who was richer than America, you know, they love to brag and boast. America's the richest nation on earth. It's the richest nation in the history of the world, right? This is their boast. So if they are the richest by their own standards and by their own words, then one has to look at the position of the lowest people in their society. Because you can be from any other place and you can get financial help. You can come into America and get financial help. But if you're a member of that so-called American Negro, here in America, they'll overlook you. They'll mistreat you. They'll beat you. They'll abuse you. They'll kill you on camera. And then they'll justify killing you. They'll demonize you. The police killed him. Yes, the police shot him 77 times in his back. But we have a record of him. One time when he was in the seventh grade, he was smoking and he got in a fight. And he was a troublemaker in the eighth grade. Now, this has nothing to do with why they shot you in your back 77 times 30 years later. But they will use that as a justification of them slaughtering you. The same thing that the rich man would do to that poor man. Until he wound up in the same position as the poor man. So what does God do? God goes to work to break the power of the rich man. Right? And puts them in the same position that he had his ex-slave in. What is going on with America right now? We're seeing her money markets being broken, right? We're seeing her financial markets being broken. We see her currencies being broken. We see her financial position domestically and internationally deteriorate by the second. Is that not right? Is that not right? I'm asking you all. This is being done because of the way she has done it. When you're looking at these things, you got to look at them through a spiritual eye also, because this is unraveling and unfolding a prophecy. So God goes after them. He breaks their power to rule. Remember I read to you in the other time where the messenger talked, and he said that God went out to the white man, his world, and he went to break their power to rule. And how did he do that? Muhammad was, he specifically said that he goes and breaks their train. Right? This man was telling you this in the 70s. But you couldn't see it because the time was not for you to see it. It was a little bit too far down the wheel of time for you to see it or for you to comprehend it. But now today you're living in it. What are they telling you? Trade is drying up. What are they telling you? That the trade deficit continues to build. Well, if you have a trade deficit, that means you're taking in or trying to take in more than you can afford. What does that entail? That entails you taking on mountains of debt, right? And sooner or later, when your debt is called and you have none of the funds to pay your debt, you will either be declared bankrupt or there will be an embargo on you where you are no longer worthy, credit worthy, to get those things which you desire because you no longer have the resources to afford them. Don't they do that to you if you overspend on your credit card and you don't pay your credit card time and time again? Month after month after month, and you go to use that credit card, what do they say about the credit card? You no longer are able to use that credit card because it's been canceled. Right? This is what is going on with America. Right here, right now, you're seeing it, and you're trying to ignore it because you don't like it, because you're still in love with this man's world. This is the clip. I'm gonna go back. I was going to play a clip from Greg Lenardino from a few days ago. But I'm looking above him, and I'm seeing something from 2016 that's about 2 minutes, okay? That has nothing to do with the show today, but I'm going to play this. I'm just going on a whim because it just keeps standing out to me, okay? And I'm going to play this clip, and then we're going to go into Greg Lenardino after this clip. It's only 2 minutes. If it has nothing in it, if it doesn't have anything to do with what we're saying, we'll stop the clip, okay? But remember, this is about the collapse of the currency. This is about the collapse of the financial market. It's about the collapse of trade. This is about the mounting debt. This is about America no longer having gold and silver, nor the Western world, because it's all being switched from west to east. It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying her low, right? Is that not Elijah Muhammad? But I'm going to play this little clip because it looks curious to me from 2016. And I just want to see what it's about. Y'all, not with your brother, okay? I never led you astray. I never led you wrong. But not fair with your brother.
I am of the mind that at some point they're going to turn this around the other way. I mean, I think they're going to turn around the other way and try to make tons of money. You like silver, and the reason why you like silver is because it gets used up. A lot of it is gone. Gold doesn't get used up. Whatever was mined is there, and there's some people out there who say there's actually less above ground silver right now than ever in history, and less than gold. Tell me why you like silver more than gold, and what you think the price will do.
That's absolutely true. Silver has got a dual function. It functions as an industrial commodity, which it has since probably the 1940s and 50s when electronics were being introduced. So a lot of it's consumed on the industrial side, and you can make a case that, you know, hey, the uses of silver are going through the roof. And then you have the monetary side. The monetary side has pretty much been dead since, you know, we went off the silver standard, or, you know, kind of went off it, but in the 1960s. Well, who gets to decide that? Why does the U.S. and the Bank of England get to decide what we use as money? Silver has been used as money for 5,000 years, even more than gold has been used as money. And right now we're looking at above ground silver and above ground gold. They're both around 6 billion ounces each total, not just coins, but, you know, jewelry and teapots and everything. There's your question. Why is there an 80-to-1 ratio silver to gold? I'll tell you exactly why. It's the computers and the market rigging that's been going on since the 1970s, since Alan Greenspan invented the first computer programs to rig the markets. I've proved it 100 times, and one day it'll come out and everybody will say, wow, Bix was right about that road to Ruta stuff that the Fed told him that it was Alan Greenspan that invented the first computer models to rig markets. It's true, and everybody who follows my research is finally coming around saying, okay, yeah, it looks like they have been rigging the markets for a very long time.
Oh, it's pretty much proven. I mean, I remember 3 or 4 years ago, you'd bring that up and people would, you know, they'd fold you a little tinfoil hat and give it to you.
I have plenty of those.
And now, now they rigged LIBOR. They've proven. They've pled guilty. Right. They've rigged the Forex market, which means they rigged the precious metals markets. They pled guilty. I mean, so it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty foregone conclusion.
Now, see, this is from 2016. It just looked stood out to me. So I just wanted to see what it was about, and it has to do with what we're talking about. See, all I did, clicked on the thing. I didn't know what it was. From 2016. So it's a clip from my dashboard from 2016 talking about the silver market, talking about the rigged and manipulated market, talking about the corruption in the system, and talking about some specific dates when America robbed her currency of silver in the 1960s. Listen to this deal. So as he said that, the first thing came to mind was missions to the black man, right? And so I flipped over the message to the black man. Now, this is on the spot. The page 270. So you can read along with me if you like. That's to the black man. This is what the message said. The year. He said, the year. Let me just say it. The year 1865 and 1966 are going to be fatal for America, bringing in the fall of America. Right? Now, this is what he said. I can go further in this, but I just want to make that point right here. What was so fatal about 65 and 66? In 65, they partially robbed the currency of silver. They took it out of the nickels, the dimes, and the quarters. And in 66, they started taking it out of the half-dollar pieces and the dollar pieces. Right? Mama said, the years 1965 and 66 are going to be fatal for America, bringing in the fall of America. Now, if 65 and 66 would be fatal years, what do you think 1971 was, right? When they took the world off the gold and the silver standard. See, in 65 and 66, they partially took it off. Because America was printing up more money and she had no built up stores of silver. So she had to rob her money of that silver backing so that she can prosecute her foreign and domestic policies of terror. Okay? And it got so bad that she had no silver to put in her currency in 1970. And so when America was going through this trade thing and the global economy was teetering on collapse, and the nations were thinking about embargoing the great American empire. Richard Nixon says, the U.S. dollar is as good as gold, right? And the French president at the time, and from this school, said, well, if it is good as gold, then give us gold in. And Richard Nixon saw that nations was clamoring for gold. Because they were tired of what they were seeing America's deficit. And they knew that if the dollar was pegged to the gold, she could not keep spending these large sums of money. So America was caught in Richard Nixon immediately all transactions from U.S. dollar to gold. Right? See how this into the connection? And now today, what's going on? See, that's when America had truly fallen. You're living in these after effects of it. You're living in the flinching of the dead body. That's what you're living in right now. Like I give you that example of that snake. When you cut off the head of the snake, and then the snake body is contorting and still moving. And even the head, even though it's separated from the body, you can still see it hitting at something, while the body itself is constricting, moving dead if the head was taken off or if the body is dead. But the after effects of the muscle made it seem as though the snake was still alive. Right? And so some people, when it comes to poisoning snakes, if they sever the head, they have to bury the head because it's still dangerous. Right? Even after death. This is where we're living in. Right here. America is dead. She's dead. There has been a death certificate for her. The Western world is dying. It's dead. We see the death certificate for her. And all we are in the after effects of it. But it looks so real to us because we don't know no better. With all this huffing and puffing and chest thumping of military might and intervention, we think that she still holds her position and sway around the world when in reality, she's being challenged at every corner, at every turn. And at home in her market, it's looking real bad for her, right? It's looking real bad for her. So let's go to Gregory Manorino clip from a few days ago because I want to hurry up and I want to get some of these other clips in real quick. Because I know it, when we look around, every time you look around, time is like boom, boom, boom. And today's show, is, I think, is a 2 hours, okay? So let's try to get some clips in so that you can see for yourself that we are in the end of the fall and drowning of America in the Western world. They're drowning in debt. Drowning, I'm telling you, in debt. So I want you to pay close attention to Mr. Gregory Manorino here. And this was, remember that this was a few days ago, okay? Last week or early Monday or something like that. I'm not sure, but I know I had downloaded and ready for the show a few days ago that we did not have. Okay, so pay close attention. That's it. This is about 12 minutes, too.
Okay, everybody, it's me, Gregory Manorino. It is Sunday, March 1st, 2020. Before we get started, I want to share a little bit of sad news with all of you. Yesterday, my father passed away. My dad has been suffering with illness for the last couple of years, and it was his time to go. And, yeah, I thought about taking today off, but my dad had an incredible work ethic, and he never let anything get in his way. And I want to carry that on. And I also want to say this. When someone passes away that we love, we lose a piece of ourselves. There's no doubt about that. And we carry that for the rest of our lives. But my dad was the kind of person who would go so far out of his way to help other people. And that's what carries on. It's not what we do for ourselves. It's what we do for others that matters. And that is what continues even when we pass away. And that's another reason why I'm here doing this video right now. Anyway, with that out of the way, that's it. That's the way it goes. All right, so anyway, let's talk about these markets here, people. As we all know, this market was a bloodbath this week. I can't say it was not expected. We all knew it was coming. No doubt about that. I would like to say here that I kept all of you on the right side of this market. And I think because of my actions and what I explained to people prior to this this meltdown this week, I've done some good in the world, and I hope that makes my father proud. Truly. Give me a second. Anyway, so let's go forward. This coming week here, I would not be surprised to see this market try to rebound. As you all know, nothing goes down in a straight line. During the last crash, the one before that, and the one before that, going back to 1929, you know, the market will go down. It'll bounce down, bounce down. And again, what we should be focusing on here is not really the stock market. Sure, if you're a trader, if you're an investor, if you have cash in this market, it makes a it's big, it's huge. But by understanding that there are big, there's a bigger aspect of this market that we need to be focusing on like a laser, well, that'll tell us where things are going. So I believe the markets are going to try to rebound here. If we don't get a rebound, let me put it, another perspective on this. If we do not bounce tomorrow, the next day, earlier in this week, we can expect a worst-case scenario to unfold very rapidly in this market. I'll cover that in a second. But again, going back to the debt market, people, I'm going to tell you again, every asset here derives value from what it happens in the debt market. We have a debt market that is a nightmare. It is a nightmare of epic proportions. And the fact that the yield curve is cratering, has been dropping since way before the coronavirus, explains to us that our economy is in free fall. It's just a matter of time before our economy, which is failing, and the stock market we're going to meet. How many times have I said that? And I've actually demonstrated the same thing to you, all of you, over and over again. The job of the market is very simple, to determine fair value. The stock market, actually, every single asset right now is so twisted and so distorted because of the fakery and the rigging that is going on in the debt market since Barack Obama, okay? President Trump took over the reins, has made it much, much worse. I really thought the guy was going to fix it. It's what he said during the campaign, that the Fed was faking the market. The Fed was artificially suppressing rates to make Obama look good. But all weekend, the president has been calling for more support from the Fed and negative rates. Understand, when you hear that, you know who the man works for. Because the more debt a central bank is allowed to issue or called to issue, the stronger they become. They don't become weaker. People who don't understand central banking think the opposite. They're like, oh, the Fed is issuing more debt. They're becoming weaker. No. This is what they want to do. Every world central bank exists for one reason, to issue more debt, period. So get that through your head. And the Fed will become stronger once they cut rates. And rate cuts are coming, people. Don't just listen to Greg Mannarino, who told you from weeks ago that the Fed's going to cut rates. You've got Goldman Sachs, the mega bank, the super bank of Wall Street, the super criminal bank on Wall Street, saying we're going to get three cuts. I happen to agree with them, but I said it first. I said multiple cuts were coming, no doubt about it. And it's not just rate cuts that are coming here. The Fed is going to pump more debt into this market. They're going to use the coronavirus as an excuse to issue in their final solution. All the world central banks are going to take advantage of this, believe me. And who's going to get destroyed? You are, if you're a member of the middle class. People bet against this debt and become your own central bank. I've been telling you this since day one, over a decade ago. Now, I want to talk more about this precipitous drop here in the market and why the potential is so great for much larger losses here. I covered on Friday why stocks fell from an all-time record high to a 10% plus loss in the fastest or the shortest period of time in history. We've never seen a drop like this. This is the biggest. It's because of margin calls. And again, a lot of these calls, yeah, have been covered. So that might be a reason why we could get a bounce in this market. But if this bounce doesn't play out to be a rebound where stocks go back higher, we're going to get more margin calls. You're going to see stocks fall harder. You're going to see other assets fall along with them. Yes, gold, silver, cryptocurrencies could fall under pressure because of margin calls. And, you know, that presents opportunity too. It really does. If you see this market bleed off hard, again, let's say we get a rebound in this market earlier this week and then all of a sudden stocks drop. And I will keep all of you on top of it, I promise. There's going to be opportunity there because I would expect to see gold, silver, platinum, palladium, cryptocurrencies sell off a little bit because of margin calls. Margin debt. The amount of capital that people have borrowed to participate in the fake market is at an all-time record high. The potential for these people to lose more than their investment is extreme. So they're going to want to cut those losses very, very quickly. They're going to and cover them. So that's what you're going to see: stocks fall hard, and or have the potential to see stocks fall hard again. Metals fall again. Cryptos fall. It's so simple. Once you understand the dynamics of the market and how it works, you know where to look and you know where the opportunities are. Okay, so what we are going to do, you and me here, is number one, if we get a bounce in this market, if you're one of my lions here and you see a bounce in this market, in no way should you be going all in on, oh, the market's going to rebound. Oh, the market, sure, the market probably will. Probably is the key word. So you want to be very cautious here and never risk a single dime in this market more than you are willing to lose. Sure, we are speculators as lions in this market, and we got to take risk to make cash. But I want you to be cautious here, and I want you to focus on the debt market. People, the 10-year yield, we hit several historic lows this week. The 30-year, several historic lows. Historic lows. We have an inverted yield curve that is dropping. This is massively stock market negative, and then we're getting calls for more debt. The yield curve is dropping on its own. Rate cuts, in theory, will help the market. But understand, this is in theory. None of this has been vetted before. This is where no man or no woman has gone before. And in my opinion here, and we'll end this video kind of soon because it's getting long. In my opinion here, debt is the problem. Debt is not the solution. So when you have a world leader, a sitting president saying, we need more debt, we need to cut rates, you have to, what's going through their head? Do they not understand central banking, or are they playing for the central banks? Because again, people, central banks want to issue more debt. This is a multi-decade plan. I mean, decades in the working, in the making here, where central banks want to be the lenders and buyers of last resort. They want to own everything. Who are they sucking it from? The middle class. The middle class. So if the Fed becomes the lender and buyer of last resort, who's the borrower? It's you. It's you. It's the American people. It's the people of the world living under the hideous rule of world central banks. People, we can't win. We've already lost. We've lost this battle a long time ago. We let it happen to ourselves. The petrodollar, the fiat monetary system is going nowhere. Nowhere. And you can go back to, again, when this whole thing started, you can see how many decades ago this ball started rolling. And right now, the central banks are moving higher up that pyramid, higher up, where they are gazing down at the throngs of slaves that they've created, the nation's slaves that are indebted to these banks. And there is no way out. I don't care what you might think. I don't care what you might hear. Trust me on this one. Very few people on this planet, not even the President of the United States, I'm going to say it right here, understands these markets like the way that I do. He's admitted it many times. He's not a market guy. He's a real estate guy. And I'm telling you, I know the markets exponentially better than the President of the United States. It's that simple. I don't know another way to put it. All right, people, look, that's pretty much it. Long video here. This guy
Stop right there. I need to talk to y'all for a minute. See, this is the first time I've heard this. 2 weeks ago. A lot of stuff I'll play. Now, when I dissect stuff, I'll let you know I dissect things. But sometimes I just want to go on the fly. You know what he said? He talked about the petrodollar mix. He talked about they're losing. They're going to lose it for a long time. It's over with. There's no way out. Then he talked about how all of this stuff is connected to the petrol dollar, right? And he talked about how This goes back decades. I've been telling you this for the last 10, 11, almost 11 years on air. I've been saying this to you constantly. How it's all interconnected. But you look at it as a dot, and you don't look at the other dot as connecting links to this thing that draws out a bigger picture. Right? And he talked about this petrodollar. And so I'm on this, and I'm glad he says these things, because this also goes hand in hand with this show. Money magician. Here's what happens when the magic runs out. And it also gives me a chance to answer email that was given to me before, talking about, well, I read Message to the Black Man, and Elijah Muhammad said that 1973 and 1974 would prove to be the fall of America. So he didn't understand it, so I'm going to give it to you. And I'm glad Mr. Gregory Manarino said what he said, because it adds weight and legitimacy to what I'm about to tell you, okay? I didn't even know he was going to say that. So since he said it, I'm going to go ahead on and, no pun intended, piggyback off of it to prove to you, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, and to prove to you that Elijah Muhammad was 100 and is 100% correct in what he stated. Let's go to the Message to the Black Man. I know what you were referring to. You didn't put the chapter, you didn't put the page there, but I know what page you're talking about, because I know these books. And I know it's on page 272. And yeah, I was reading the little comment off the email while the clip was playing. So, on page 272, nothing to Elijah Muhammad writes. And this goes hand in hand with this show, okay? America is falling. Her doom has come. And none, said the prophet, shall help her in the day of her downfall. In the Bible, God pleads with you to fly out of her, America, and seek refuge in him. Revelation 18:4. What is going to happen in 1973 and 1974? He asked this question. What is going to happen in 1973 and 74? Right? He asked the question. Then he says this. Certainly will change your mind about following a doomed people, a people who hate you and your kind, and who call one who teaches the truth about them a hater. Right? So, I know what you were talking about. Hell, people tried this before. Listen, I'm going to tell you all, for you who are listening, this is no brag, this is no boast, but there's absolutely no man, woman, or child on the planet Earth that can handle me in these teachings. Nobody. Telling you this. I know them inside and out, backwards and forwards, and I can defend them at no limit of time and prove to you what I'm saying while I'm addressing the issues of the show. Okay? So we got these 2 days Muhammad asked about. What is going to happen in 1973 and 1974? And then we know that he's telling you that what is going to happen is it will change your mind. He said it will certainly change your mind about following a doomed people. Right? Who hate you and your kind. So what happened in 19? What's the most significant thing that happened in 1973 and 74? See, for us to understand this, we must go through the history book to find out. Remember that America in 73 was going back and forth, so-called allies and enemies. And they were talking about embargo in America. Right? Right? America no longer had much gold, right? I'm talking, I'm going to prove something to you, because I'm going to pull something up, and it's going to go right in line with what Mr. Gregory Manarino said, right? And right in line with what Elijah Muhammad has said. So y'all just bear with me. It goes right along this thread we weaving on this show, Money Magician. Here's what happens when the magic runs out. So Mr. Gregory Manarino said, the petrodollar and stuff. He was talking about how the petrodollar is done. And how all of this stuff started decades ago, right? Let's go to this article here. I'm just going to read the first part of this article. This article was published on June 1st, 2016. And it has as its author Zero Head. And it's being reposted that day by the website called Global Research or .ca. by what's his name, Michelle, whatever his name, I forget this guy's name. He's a French Canadian, I believe. But anyway, let's look at this. The state is going to be telling, okay? 1973 to 1974. Now, the head of the article is titled, "How the Petrodollar Was Born and Lived in Secrecy for Over 40 Years." Right? For decades, the story of Saudi Arabia recycling petrodollars, i.e. funding the U.S. deficit by buying U.S. treasuries with proceeds of its crude oil sales, mostly to the U.S., while the U.S. sweetened the deal by providing the Saudis with military equipment and supplies, remained entirely in the secrecy, and conspiracy realm, with no confirmation or official statement from the U.S. Treasury Department. Now, that particular theory becomes the latest fact, thanks to a fascinating story by Bloomberg, which gives the background and details of secret meetings between then U.S. Secretary of Treasury, William Simon, and his deputy, Gary Hart, and members of the Saudi ruling elite, and lays out the history of how the petrodollar was born. Listen to this, because it is an amazing date here. Because we know that 73 and leading up to this date in 74, there was a scramble by the empire to try to prevent the collapse of the U.S. dollar and try to remain the relevant and most powerful nation on the face of the earth, right? So it says, here is the background. Listen to the date. It was July 1974. A steady pre-dawn drizzle had given way to the overcast skies when William Simon, newly appointed U.S. Treasury Secretary, and his deputy, Gary Parsky, stepped onto an 8 a.m. flight from Andrews Air Force Base. On board, the mood was tense. That year, the oil crisis had hit home. What oil crisis? That was a build-up to an oil crisis that started in 73, right? But now we're in July 1974, okay? And remember what Mr. Gregory Manarino talked about, how the petrodollar is dead. There's no way out because of the debt cycle. And this stuff happened decades ago, right? Listen to this. Man, I tell you, you can't handle it. I'm telling y'all lightweights when it comes to this. Can't handle me. I'm sorry. You can't handle it. If y'all have Saladin drilling y'all constantly, I'm telling you. But this stuff right here, what they be dropped, it's so light. But anyway, let's go. That year, the oil crisis had hit home. An embargo, did I tell y'all about that embargo? An embargo by OPEC's Arab nations. Payback for U.S. military aid to the Israelis during the Yom Kippur War. Quadrupled oil sales. Inflation soared. Stock market crashed. And the U.S. economy was in a tailspin. Stop right there. Right? So this year, I can go further because it talks about how in this year, how America got this and they formulated this thing called the petrodollar. If you want to, I can give you a link to it or whatever. You can read it yourself. But it all goes back to what Mr. Gregory Manarino said, what Elijah Muhammad said when he told you about this. America's fallen. But doom has come. And none said the prophets shall help her in the day of her downfall. In the Bible, God pleads with you to fly out of her, America, and seek refuge in him. What is going to happen in 1973 and 74? It will certainly change your mind about following the doomed people, right? When you are seeing the after effects of those agreements, look how they're rattling the world markets today. Look how they're shattering the perception of white domination. Huh? And now today, you can see it, but you didn't see it in 1973 and 1974. But today, not only can you see it, you can hear it, you can smell it, you can taste it, and you definitely can feel it. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Don't come to me with this lightweight stuff. All right? Let's go further. White man sees this world crash. Right? He sees it. And there's nothing he can do about it. My heart feels good. I love it because I know stuff does not take place. If the wars in the Middle East doesn't happen, if that big conflagration doesn't happen in Asia, and if that major nuclear conflagration doesn't happen in Europe, you don't go free. All of these things are not in a rope, right, to give you stability as you are pulled up and out of the mud in the mire of this civilization. All of these things are the, as you rise, to bring them down a notch. Each one is a notch to bring them down. For the hell that they've caused you, they must suffer. Man, listen to me good. I want you to understand this, and I say this ad nauseum. The white man is not the exception to the rule. He is not the exception to the laws that God laid at the very base of creation. He wants you to believe he is. He thinks that he can go around the globe and conquer and kill and rob in the name of national security or national threat. And there's nothing that can subvert him, stop him, or bring him to yield. He wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that he can give hell out with unlimited pleasure for him, and nothing comes back to him. But that's not the way the things go. That's not the way the world works. That's not the way the universe puts things out. There's a saying, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. So if you're killing people, and if you're robbing people, and if you're dehumanizing people, and if you're vilifying people, and if you're lying on people, that all got to come back to you. And if you don't live long enough, it's going to come back on your children. What the book say? For the sins of thy father, I shall visit it upon thy children. Right? Well, I didn't have nothing to do with slavery. No, but you are a direct beneficiary of it. Therefore, you must pay the price. Hell, I didn't do nothing in this society, but I'm catching hell because of who I am, because of my lineage. The same with millions of us, 6 to 8 million to be exact. Got to pay the price. And so now they see everything falling down for them. It's all falling down. Humpty Dumpty was on that wall, and he was bragging. See, he took a fall financially and politically and economically and militarily. And when he fell off that wall, he called all his men, right? And they did all of the prognostication and estimation of how to put you back together. But the empire was never brought back together. We're looking at that right. This stuff is happening right in front of you. No longer can you deny this because it's too clear and evident. I want you to listen to what they're saying. And what is his name? Bill Holter. I used to play him a lot on the show. Right? And I'm going to play him again. Let me scroll up my dashboard and see if I have it. So I want to play him again. Okay, here we are. I found him. I want to play him again. Some of the clips are short, some are mid-range. I want you to listen to what they're talking about because in this short clip, I think this is like a minute and 30 seconds, 36 seconds. And then you look at it, you're talking about how they're trying to protect their wealth, about how they're scrambling for gold and silver. I just want you to listen to this because I'm setting this one up so that we can talk about the situation with the American people in the Western world. But they find themselves in it. There's no escape, Mr. Gregory Malamino said, I know exponentially more about the market than our president. Didn't he just say that? He said, there's no way out. There's too much debt. There's no way to get out of a debt crisis by continuing to pile up more debt. Isn't that right? And what did Mr. Mark Farber and what's the other one name? Jim Rogers. America is the largest and the greatest debt nation in the history of the world. He has defaulted multiple times that the world tries to ignore. And she will default again. And this time, it will destroy the money market and the global financial system. Who runs the global financial system? I want you to understand, this is not racist. I just want to point out, who runs the financial system? Who runs the currency? Who runs the politics of the world? Who runs the military enforcement of the world? Who's the beneficiary of those organizations and of those militaries and of those financial markets? But it definitely is not the American so-called Negro nor the black people around the globe. Therefore, we're in the midst of an entire change. Right? And let me say this before I play this clip. For those of you who are trying to combat climate change, right? For those of you who are crying because they're talking about mass extinction or die-offs of large species of animals, do you not understand the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Some of you are Muslims and you're acting like fools. I'm talking to the Muslims now. You act like you don't have a general comprehension of what he taught. When he tells you that every 25,000 years there's a universal change. He tells you that when that new God steps on the scene, he changes the animals, the plants, and everything. Huh? Do you not comprehend that? He said even the atmosphere would be changed. What is going on? Do you not comprehend that? I don't think you do. But I just wanted to add that in. But I want you to hear what they're talking about their wealth destruction and how they're panicking and how they're trying to get gold and how to warn each other about gold and silver. But if this is just a lead-in, we'll go into more of this, and it's just a lead-in, just a minute or something, a lead-in to what we're really going into. Okay, so take
a little day after an awful week on the markets that we've been warning people about. Bill, thanks for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Let's get right out of the gold. Let's start with gold for change. Gold was whacked on Friday because this is the early Sunday release, right? So just last Friday, 60 right. bucks. Silver lost a buck and change. But yet gold is still up for the month, about $7, a half a percent. Can't say that about the markets. Should people be worried about holding hard assets at this juncture?
No, not at all. What comes is a credit problem and your protection against the credit markets coming down is asset money, if you want to call it that. Gold and silver have no liability. They're not issued by a central bank. There's no promise of that has to be kept in order for it to perform. Gold and silver are simply evidence of capital, labor and equipment already used to dig it out of the ground and mint the bar, the coin, what have you. Whereas whether it's dollars or euros or bonds or what have you, those are all liabilities of whether it be a central bank or a sovereign treasury or what have you, they all carry liability. And that's what the problem is in today's world. It's a world completely awash in liability.
The world is completely awash in liability. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? We know this from the last definition that debt is a liability, right? Isn't that right? And according to the dictionary, liability, the state of being responsible for something, especially by law, right? A person or thing whose presence or behavior is likely to cause embarrassment or put one at a disadvantage and hinder it. Encumbrance, burden, handicap, nuisance. So all of this debt has become a handicap, a burden, an encumbrance, a hindrance, a nuisance for them. You understand? See, the reason I break this stuff down, and I notice that more people are trying to employ this thing that I do on the show on YouTube and stuff now. They're trying to employ it, but they listen to the show. But I try to break these things down, the words to you, because when these people are talking, they're not talking to you specifically. They're talking to their people. Because they probably don't have 10 friends look like you. But they're talking to them, and if you just don't happen to look, they're talking over you in certain instances. So some of us will hear what they say, and we'll get half of what they say. But the underlying meaning of the stuff still evades us. But without us really looking into the definition of what is being said, we cannot truly absorb that statements that is being posed to us or posed in front of us. That put that up as at a disadvantage. That puts us at a disadvantage. Because they will have the knowledge of what to expect and how to prepare, and we won't. You understand? Let's go to the phone lines real quick. I see my brother Rashid is on there, and I got to say, I said, my brother, my good brother, Assalamu alaikum.
Wale Flam, brother, how you doing?
Brother, I'm doing pretty good. Sitting up here nursing this hernia, but I'm doing good.
Brother, what you was talking about, how they change the world, I was watching on one of the Discovery channels where the devil was talking about over in China. They had somewhere in the water, they had pyramids and sphinx and all that stuff. And a couple of places over in Indonesia, I know they got one over in Cuba, right by... they got big pyramids bigger than the ones in Egypt and big stone statues like the sphinx and stuff. And they've been, those societies been taken away, and nobody never knew that they ever existed. This is all around the world, things like that happen. So, like, it proves what you were saying. He removes societies after a certain amount of time, and then he try to go to something different. But the menu said that this has been going on for 66 trillion years with the 25,000 years, but this is the end of it because Master Farad Muhammad, our Lord and Savior, is the ever-living God. There's no one to ever come and remove his wisdom. Salaam alaikum.
Sir. Yes, sir. Alaikum salam. Beautiful, brother. I can't come behind and do that with that. When you introduce it, our Lord and Savior, I can't do that with that, but bear witness. That's what I'm saying. A lot of you act ignorant, and I know we're talking about the money market and we're talking about all this, but the white man talked about this stuff, too. When he's talking about this money market, he's now saying that the global climate change and the change that is going on can destroy his economy. This is what he thinks. And it can cause trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars in damage to the economy, grinding to a halt. This is what he's saying. Okay? So I had to bring that in because some of you, I hear some of the talk between some of you. And I'm saying, what's your name again? Who you say you following? How smart are you? And it just proves to me that with your degrees, some of you still don't comprehend. And so what I'm trying to do is just let it out there for you. So that, look, here it is, right here. I'm breaking it down for you to the last compound so that you can understand. We are in a universal change. That means everything is changed. There's nothing can stop what has been ordained and underway. The die has been cast. That's it. And so more and more, so when you look at the economy, don't look at it in a separate window from what's going on globally. All of these comets flying by. You know, I was talking to my wife one day, we were talking about this 2 days ago. When we were young, they used to tell us that you don't expect to see a comet, but every so often, right? And then when you see, it's a Halley comet, you won't see that for X amount of years, blah, blah, blah. That's what we were taught. So we didn't see all of these comets and all of these things. But it seems like every time you turn around, there's a report that there's a comet, there's a media, there's this in the sky. That was not the case back then. These things are affecting the economy because they have to send satellites up. They have to send space probes up. They have to pay people to study this. They have to pay people to build these things. And then they have to test these things out. And then it takes money to send them up in space. And it is a debt burden on an already overburdened society. So these things are in conjunction with each other. If you connect the dots, you see the picture is bigger than 1 to 2 to 10 dots. You understand? And this is what is missing in the conversation with everybody. They want to sit over here in the pulpit. These want to sit over here in the money market. These want to sit over here in the politics. These want to sit over here in the military and the geopolitics. They're not connecting these things to theology and scripture. And this is robbing you of your chance to prepare and to understand the time and what must come and what must be done. But when it's all said and done, when you look at the money magician and you look good, I'm trying to show you what happens when the money when the magic runs out. They can't do nothing. Remember these things. So let's go a little further. So we've heard them talking about the coming wealth destruction and how they're putting their money in gold and silver and how this thing is a liability and they have too many liabilities on the system and the debt and this and this. And we've heard Mr. Gregory Malarino talked about the petrodollar and the decades ago of how all of this stuff transpired. We talked about the years. We're giving you facts. You can't dispute what I'm saying because I'm going to these articles. I'm reading out of the message to the black man. Listen, I just pulled this up on the web when I get the email. I'm talking to you all. I got my screens up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 screens up. Not including my phone, right? Got the books open, and I'm talking to you all, and I'm scrolling up and down the switchboard, and I'm also scrolling up and down the audio clip. Doing it. So you can do something. You should be able to comprehend this stuff. Again, all of these years, these important years, 65 and 66 and 73 and 74, and don't forget 71. Right? All of this stuff that we see today, a direct ramification or blowback from those things that took place on those certain dates. Right? All of those. And you can't deny it. You can't get around it. You can't put your fingers in your ears and try to ignore it because the truth is so clear now that even the devil himself is admitting to it. He don't want to come straight out and say it, so he throws you a curveball. If he didn't throw you no curveball, he wouldn't be who he is. So he got to throw you a little curveball in what he's saying. But this is the truth. We're giving you the truth. You don't get this nowhere else. That's why I tell you all, please donate to the Iron 1555 blog. Help us to do this stuff. And by the way, I want to give a shout-out to our good brother, Mikhail. Mikhail donated to help the show and help the blog continue going. I'm going to give him a shout out on the air so people will know. Thank you, my brother. So let's go a little further on this. We're going to go to this clip. And while we go to this clip, I'm going to read something. And then after we come from the clip, I might read something, read it again. Because we talk about what's going on in the money market and we're talking about the economics. This is why you have so much tension globally, military. Because America and the West, they're fighting to try to maintain their position as the so-called civilized nation, as the so-called wealthy nation, as the so-called world policeman, as the so-called dominating power. They're trying, and they know without the finance, there's no romance. Isn't that what they used to say? Without the finance, there's no romance? They know that they can no longer romance or attract the world if they don't have the finances to do so. They cannot go around and put military bases and maintain military bases around the world if they have not the finances to maintain them. You understand? So all of these things are happening. The whole global architecture of Yaqub is collapsing. It's pancaking on itself. And they keep talking about black swan, the coronavirus and this and that and blah, blah, blah. I've already showed y'all on one show where the coronavirus, the plague, and what is it, the Ebola virus, and a couple, the swine flu, all of that has patents under the U.S. government. You can go search this stuff. The U.S. government has patents on this stuff. It's no coincidence that you didn't hear this in the news, did you, when they were talking about China, and they were talking about Wuhan, and they were talking about this is where the thing originated. You didn't know that 2 weeks before this broke out, that there were international covert war games in Wuhan with America and other nations there. And this would have been the good opportunity for America to start unleashing bioterror there, right? This is why America made a statement in one of the papers saying all of our troops, Google this if you think I'm lying, all troops returning from China would be quarantined in South Korea. One has to say, what the hell are U.S. troops doing in China? Right? Because they didn't let you know that there was some games, some war games going on there. Well, man, I'm telling you, this stuff's too easy to even explain. And some of you just don't get it. You just don't get it. But anyway, so they talk about the black swan that are intending upon the economy. Any black swan could collapse the U.S. economy. It's already collapsed. It could grind to a halt the global economy. It's already ground to a halt. But listen, according to the dictionary, the term black swan is a noun, right? And we have plural nouns as black swans. But the definition of it means unpredictable or unforeseen event, typically one with extreme consequence. Okay? What could they be talking about? Could it be the implosion of all these bubbles, jet bubbles? Could it be the implosion and the decline of the American dollar? Could it be the exposure that the Western governments no longer have the gold that they claim to have? And they need distractions like the coronavirus to keep you distracted and spending money to try to keep. This is what it reminds me of is World War II. Buy war or U.S. war bonds to help keep the war machine going. This is what it reminds me of. Right? Isn't that not what they said? Buy, and when the people got fed up, well, donate your tires and your aluminum cans to these factories. We need them for the war. That's what they're doing. They want to distract you because of a burden that is on their shoulders. I'm not saying it's not real. What I'm telling you is that they have patents to it. All right? And who's the biggest beneficiary of China suffering from this and the stigmatism that is lumped on China as the place of origin? Who's the biggest beneficiary of this? Don't take a rocket science to see this. When they first tried to white male China, China didn't go for it. When they tried to bully China in the South China Sea, see, that didn't go, right? Then they tried to force China's hand and trade. That didn't happen. Then they tried to have a currency war with China. That didn't go well. Then they had these so-called color revolutions in Hong Kong, and for months, the people over there holding up U.S. and British flags. And it's costing the Chinese economy and the Hong Kong economy billions of dollars while this is happening, right? And it is also giving China a black eye internationally. Who's the biggest beneficiary? And right after that, Trump goes into a negotiation with China again. China didn't give him what he wants, and all of a sudden Wuhan is infected with the coronavirus. This is a chain of events. And I'm just giving it to you off the top of my head. Right? This is economic warfare. This is political warfare. Right? And soon it will escalate into a military warfare. Let me tell y'all something that was told to me by one of my sources. I was going to put it in a premium article, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to give y'all the scoop on it, okay? I was told that the Chinese military, the head of the Chinese military, personally contacted Esper, the War Secretary of America. And at first he was hinting around coronavirus. And he was telling America, you know, the suspicion of how this happened and what area it happened in and why it happened when such and such was over there. And from what was told to me, that after a while, he became blunt with Esper and said that China had a suspicion that it was the U.S. and the Western nations that were over there that did that. And if they have any, if they, their investigation reveals as much, the U.S. and whoever else was involved can expect an immediate retaliation. They did not specify what the retaliation is, but this was told to me by my source. And I've been telling you what my source tells me, and they happen right after I tell you this stuff. So there was a phone conversation, and then after that, phone conversation between the Chinese general, the head of the Chinese, the People's Liberation Army, the War Secretary of the U.S., there was also a video conference between Chinese generals and U.S. generals. And the Chinese generals made it clear of what they were talking about. Now, you can say that I'm wrong. Hey, this is what I received. I might even write a little bit more because it's more than that, but I'm trying to get to some on here. I'm just letting you know this is the stuff that's going on that you are not aware of. Bet you didn't hear that in the news. Bet you didn't know nothing about that. Huh? So, let's go further. I want you to listen close to this right here about these black swans. This is 3 minutes.
Oh, that's good. That's what I've been saying. I said this, the financial aspect, I don't know what about the medical aspect, okay? Although the reports look awful about the medical side and how bad it is and who's lying and how much are they lying, are they underestimating? Okay, but the financial reports are solid. And this is about the ability to service debt, and first and foremost, China with their $40 trillion and the rest of the world. I mean, isn't this about the ability to service debt with the economies of the world grinding to a halt, or at least having a big boat anchor on them?
Right. When the coronavirus first came about, that was my first thought, and I've been talking about that now for 3 or 4 weeks, is that I'm not an expert in the medical field. I can't tell you how devastating it's going to be. But the reports of city after city being on lockdown, that means things are not being made. It means factories are not producing. So it affects, obviously it affects supply. For example, what was it? Audi stopped producing their electric car because they can't procure batteries. So that whole assembly line is shut down. And basically the world, with the amount of debt in the system, the world is living month to month, if you want to call it paycheck to paycheck. And when the real economy has even just a hiccup, and this is more than a hiccup, when the real economy slows down, it doesn't create the cash flow necessary to service the debt. And that's the problem with in the credit markets. And obviously the problem in the real markets is actually getting goods. And we just heard the first story today of, and I don't know which medicine it was, but some type of medicine that comes from China is become scarce or not available. So the real problem is the real economy slowing down. And to be clear, it was already slowing down in the fourth quarter. So that's prior to the coronavirus. You could see that in trade numbers. You could see the slowing across the board. Then you have the coronavirus hit, which is an additional hit to the real economy, which in the end cuts cash flow. And we're already on a razor's edge as far as cash flow being able to service debt. And that's evidenced by the world had to go to, in many instances, negative interest rates so that the debt could be serviced.
And then we have the,
they talk about how the coronavirus is intertwined with the debt. Now, I just did this while he was talking. He talked for 3 minutes, right? And in the last 30 seconds of those 3 minutes, I typed in this. U.S. troops returning to South Korea from China will be quarantined. And a whole bunch of things from the BBC, Washington Examiner, Jerusalem Post, Washington Times, Military.com, Strikes.com, USNews.com, TheHill.com, MilitaryTimes.com, Reuters.com. And remember that Reuters was one of the beneficiaries of war. Now, before it became a news service, they were a war machine. I want you to understand this now. So don't take them lightly when it comes to war. Now, it says, the headline says, U.S. military in South Korea poses quarantine after returning from China. Now, this is what this says right here. The Military Times. Let's see. Let me go to this. I haven't even read it. I just Googled it. Okay, here it is. The militarytimes.com, the one I just clicked on. The headline is this. U.S. forces. Some popped up. Hold on one second. U.S. forces in Korea imposes mandatory 14-day quarantine for U.S. troops returning from China. What day was this? February the 3rd, 2020. What are they doing in Wuhan? They weren't just in China. They were in Wuhan. You see? So I'm not talking about conspiracy sites. This is the military site. Man, the time is going by. Oh, then we only have 28 minutes left. God, I'm telling you. It's right there. All you have, I'm going to give you the keywords that I put in. Let me go back on Google. The keywords is U.S. troops returning to South Korea from China will be quarantined. That's what I put in. And I got Reuters, Military Times, The Hill, U.S. News, Flights.com, which is another military thing. Military.com, another kind of thing. Military Times. Washington Times. Jerusalem Post. Washington Examiner. The BBC. All of them reported on this. But you didn't know nothing about it. See? And what have they? What were they doing there? And why would the virus break out there? Nowhere else, but there. Well, the U.S. and the Western troops were. This is all. See, America's losing her position. Remember that America's watching China too. And the Chinese are watching America. And America is losing her position. She's already lost the number one economy. As a matter of fact, I got clips that have proved to you that America lost the number one status as the world's number one economy years ago. Not only is she no longer the number one economy, she's no longer the number one importer, the number one exporter. She's no longer the number one creditor nation. Everything that she once dominated in, the yellow man of Asia has chased her down and is overtaking her. Just like Elijah Muhammad said with her. Elijah Muhammad forewarned you of this. And because of this, America is, she's becoming desperate. Remember, when a champion has been on top so long, and they see that they're losing everything, right? They will resort to things that you would never think that they would do because you're thinking this could lead to thermonuclear war. But they are willing to do that. To give you an example, and I'm gonna bring this up, the fight that took place on the 22nd with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. I said this when I watched the fight. This man is cheating. You can ask my mom, you can ask everybody. I said, this man is cheating. His gloves loaded. I was saying that. I said, Deontay Wilder, I know it's sweating up, and the fight hadn't even started. They poisoned the man. Now it's coming out. The urinalysis is taking forever to happen. Now everybody is dissecting the video and seeing that the man had his gloves loaded because he had been a champion so long. He didn't want to lose to that young black original buck. That's what he wanted to break that book like they used to do in slavery time. To set an example for you. This is what's going on. So America is doing the same thing on the international level because she's losing everything. That's why she's going around the world trying to have her allies and other people don't accept Huawei. We'll sanction you. Don't accept Russian weapons. We'll sanction you. Even though her weapons got. That's a desperate person. That's someone that is losing their grip on reality. They see someone challenging them. Remember that this hurts her real bad because of her policy, her stated and open policy after the collapse of the Soviet Union was to prevent any nation or any combination of nations to emerge as her rival or equal. That's her stated and open policy. If you think I'm lying, Google it. Right? And so she missed the boat on it because Russia has reemerged and China is emerging. You see? And God did all this right up under her eyes. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praises due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now I want you to hear what he has to say about credit. This is about 4 minutes. I got to try to get as many more of these in as I can, okay, brothers and sisters? So I'll bear with me. Here we go. The credit meltdown. Pay close attention.
So that the debt could be serviced.
And then we have the, well, you know, there were people predicting that we'd have a crash in the fourth quarter of 2019, and I think we had one. They just paved over it. They had $60 billion a month, which is still going on, QE. Right. The repo market went cuckoo. The Fed took it over, and they put $500 billion. You know, Fed took on $500 billion, at least officially, on their balance sheet. So, then we have the coronavirus. How bad do you think this is going to get?
I think ultimately you're going to see a credit meltdown. Greg, it's important to note that gold started its move and broke out from the 1300, 1350 level. It started literally on September 18th. That was the day that the repo market broke and rates overnight shot to 10% until the Fed stepped in. So basically the Fed has done, while they're calling it not QE, but they've basically QE'd, like you said, roughly $500 billion. Their balance sheet has expanded. And very interesting that this past, I think it was Monday, J.P. Morgan came out and said that they would access the discount window so that other banks wouldn't be afraid to access the discount window because of the stigma attached. If you remember back in 2008, anybody who stepped up and borrowed from the discount window, you know, they were immediately thought of as an upside-down insolvent bank.
Which they would be.
Right, exactly. But my point is, J.P. Morgan, just this past Monday, said that they're going to start accessing the discount window because, you know, they have a fortress balance sheet, and there shouldn't be any stigma from borrowing directly from the Fed. And my thought is they want to borrow directly from the Fed because the repo market is broken. And Greg, one other thing on the repo market, it's important to understand that the repo market is the shortest of loans. It's supposed to be overnight. And any credit market is going to affect all credit markets. So if something went wrong in the 30-year, it would work its way backwards. If something goes wrong overnight, it's going to work its way forwards. So in other words, you can't have the repo market break without affecting the rest of the credit markets.
And you think, as a result of this, we get a bad mamma jamma credit freeze bigger than 08?
Oh, yeah, multiples. I mean, this is...
Why?
Well, for one reason, there's more debt in the system. There's more debt. If you look at any ratio, there's more... every debt ratio is higher than it was in 08. And Yes, they were able to save it at that point by jamming rates to zero. Where can they jam rates now? I mean, the Fed, Chairman Powell came out today and said they're going to use all their tools. Well, the only tool they have basically is to lower rates and continue printing. We've said that all along. But the question is, how far can they lower rates this time? Zero is pretty close to where we already are.
I did a show years ago called Headed to Zero. I did a show talking about this very stuff. Go back and look at it. It's on there. Talking about going to zero. That's what he said. He's already there. Talking about the interest rate. Talking about they don't have no more tools. If they do, they have very few effective tools. Because this thing is coming down. Now, I put something in the Google search engine, and I did it like four different times and four different ways, and it keeps coming back to the same definition. And I put meaning of credit meltdown, and it shows me what credit crisis is, not credit meltdown, but the explanation goes with a credit meltdown. So here's what it says. When I put in meaning of credit meltdown, it comes up and says a credit crisis is a breakdown of a financial system caused by a sudden and severe disruption of the normal process of cash movement that underpins any economy. A bank shortage of cash available for lending is just one in a series of cascading events that occur in a credit crisis. What do I tell y'all? These things will be cascading events, multiple cascading events. Go back to my shows and listen. Go back and just listen to them. And I've said this dozens of times, warning you, and the definition bears me witness to it. But they see something coming that they can't stop. And it's something that is going to wipe. Remember that when I read to y'all about the rich man and the poor man? And how the rich man cared nothing about the health or his poor slave. But then he fell into the same position that he had his slave in. And he died in that position. The slave didn't die in the position. The slave was taken to heaven. That poor man was taken to heaven, given luxury. But that rich man died. Right? He was deprived of that which he longed for. He was deprived of the riches that he was used to. That deprivation in itself was hell for the so-called rich man. I want you to listen to this. This right here. This is a five-minute clip. I'm trying to get as many as I can. And this is right here. They're talking about the Fed and the situation that is facing the Fed and the global and the U.S. economy and how the Fed is out of tools and out of ammo, specifically out of ammo. And they don't have many tools, but they're out of ammo. I specifically cut these things up. I listen to this stuff so that you don't have to. I go in there. And I got children. I teach martial arts. I take martial arts. I got a lot of stuff going on. But I sit down. Sometimes I sit down and Brother Rashid, Brother Gerald, Brother Mikhail will tell you, my mom will tell you, I'll sit down sometimes 10, 11, 12, maybe even 1 o'clock and start listening to this stuff. And as a matter of fact, to give you what I'm saying, I have not been asleep in over 36 hours because I had to get some stuff down so that we can do this show. And you don't think the need to donate to the show? You niggas something else. You'll go spend it on McDonald's. You niggas will go give it to the wrong person. Because that's what niggas do. Niggas act in the better interest of their slave masters instead of their own people. Civilized black men and women do what is right. What you're supposed to do, your civilized duty. And if you can't teach civilization, help the ones who can. Oh, man, let's go to this. I want you to listen closely.
Zero is pretty close to where we already are.
You know, on Friday he was, I guess, trying to calm the market, but really it almost appears like he's exposing how little gas they have left. Am I wrong? Could you give us your thoughts on that?
Well, I 100% agree with that. That's what I was just mentioning, is that they don't have... They don't have any tools. There's no tools left. The only tool they have is just shove money into the system. And obviously that's they're going to ultimately dilute the system. The problem is if you have business A has to pay business B and business B has to pay business C and all around, you know, in a circle, what is the Fed going to do? Are they going to step in and make payments? Remember, this is about, we're talking about the real economy now. We're not talking about, you know, bank to bank to bank. The real economy, the Federal Reserve, at this point, they lowering rates or jamming money into the system is not going to put people back to work. It's not going to create cash flow.
So how is the Fed, I mean, they're talking about jamming this thing back up and having an emergency meeting of central bankers on
right.
Sunday, and, you know, the Fed, some of the people in the Fed are saying, we're not going to cut rates. We're not ready to cut rates. I guess they don't want to use their last three shotgun shells, you know, a Mad Max scenario. Maybe they could club you over the head with a shotgun, unless they really need to use it. I mean, what do you think they're thinking after this kiboshing, the fastest drop ever in the shortest amount of time on the stock market? What do you think they're thinking about? If they're, some of them are saying, we're not going to cut rates, and other people are saying, well, we're going to use our tools. What do you think? Try to give me what your future cast is.
Well, obviously, one possibility, and Bank of Japan, the Bank of Switzerland, the Finn Central Bank, they've already been buying stocks. So you very well may see central banks step up and buy stocks. At this point, the Bank of Japan already owns 80% of the ETFs that are outstanding in Japan. So will there be a coordinated effort? Yeah, I'm sure they're going to throw absolutely everything they possibly can at this from keep it from melting down. But the markets are bigger than the central banks.
You know, just to back you up on that, I'm pretty sure Janet Yellen was quoted recently as saying, you know, at the next recession, the central banks are going to, you know, the Fed's going to have to buy stocks. I think they already are, right?
That would be my guess. I mean, you've got, I'm sure the plunge protection team was in every single day this week.
And they couldn't stop it.
Right. And they ended up with a 13% drop. And don't forget, now, here we are, this was the fastest correction in all of history. Never before had this happened. 1929, even 1987, the one day came after a slow, not, I shouldn't say slow, but after a few weeks of choppiness. This went from all-time highs to down 12, 13, 14% in 5 or 6 trading days. So
And they were in there putting the brakes on, likely. You think that they were in there putting the brakes on, they still got the fastest drop ever.
Right, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That's bad. I'm laughing, but of course it's not funny. But that's bad. I mean, that's unless you think they weren't in the markets at all, the plunge protection team wasn't involved at all, which is, come on.
No, that's foolish to think that they're not. I mean, they're doing everything they possibly can to try to keep this thing afloat. I mean, today's hit in the gold market, obviously, that was if you want to call it official, that was an official movement, because they don't want people getting the idea that your safe haven is gold and silver. In other words, they tried to steer investment away from gold and silver by smashing it with paper contracts.
So they're trying to deceive you. They're trying to trick you, right? They're trying to maintain confidence in a corrupt market. That's what they're trying to do. But he said something that I wanted to bring to you. He said, and remember, I caught this when he said it just a second ago. So I put it, I couldn't write it down because I dropped my pen. I typed it into my Google search engine. I didn't hit enter. I just wanted to preserve it in one of the Google screens so that I could say exactly what he said when he was talking about how the Fed does no longer have anything to fight this with. He says, down to the last three gun shells, you know, Mad Max scenario. Who did an entire show about the Mad Max scenario? Who always tell you guys about look out for this Mad Max scenario? I'm asking you, could it be me? Because this is what this guy just said. Huh? Don't listen to this. Talk to me. I'm trying to tell you something. You know, it is unbelievable that you get all this stuff. Now, I want to say something else to you. He said something in particular that I want to address. He talked about the situation towards 1929. Now, I know when I played a couple others, I know Gregory Nannarino said something about 1929, and I was waiting to address that. But when he just said it, it brought something to mind to me, okay? So I'm going to bring this up. In 19, 1929, America was going through the worst depression at the time in the history of not only America, but the world, right? July 4th, right, 1930, Allah makes himself known on the scene here in America, right? He does this in the midst of an economic collapse. Is that not right? Look at how Allah is making his presence felt and known in the midst of the greatest economic collapse in the history of the world that is now taking place. And according to the so-called financial pundits, this thing will make the 1920, 1930 collapse look like child's play, right? And like on one of the clips I played when they were talking about 2008, I think it was the last clip or the clip before last, when they were talking about the economic crisis of 2008, and he said this will be multiple times worse than that. Remember, they passed that legislation through. See, I don't forget this stuff. They pushed the legislation through under the threat of a collapsed economy and the fall of the American dollar without any of the senators. I mean, this was even on C-SPAN because one congressman went on there and complained about it. He said they pushed it at midnight or late at night, but we didn't even get a chance to read, and all we had to pass it under the threat of a gun. This is what a congressman said. Save the dollar in the financial architecture, the financial system that is dominated by the Western world. They have to push in this stuff, right, and flood the market with money and then buy up treasuries to make it seem like there was still confidence in the system. Now, if that took place and the congressman said we were hours away from the total collapse of the Western system, if that took place in 2008, and this man and more men and more women are telling you that what is coming and what is underway will be multiple times worse than that, and we hear Bill Holder saying they're out of tools, they have like 3 shotgun shells left, right? We have Bill Holder and my man Greg, USA Watchdog. We hear him say, like a Mad Max scenario. What does this tell you? That the system is over. This is, you're living in a, this is the law before the storm. This is what this is. Things will get bad on a scale unheard of before. I don't want to be Mr. Gloom, but if you're prepared mentally, spiritually, and you're prepared with some food, some water, and you're prepared scriptures, and you prayed up, if you prayed up, you stayed up. God got you. If you're trying to live right, you're trying to think right, and if you prayed up, God got you, and you be stayed up, okay? This is real. The entire system of America and the Western world is under stress and strain. It's like a dam. You know, these gigantic dams that they build after years, they have fissures in them. You start seeing fissures, no lines in them. And before you know it, water seeps through them. And then you say, man, that's just a little bit of water. Then within weeks or months or even a couple years, more fissures break. And there's more. And they're telling them, we must repair this dam before the strain of that pressure from all of that tonnage of water coming at 20, 30, 40 miles an hour. More fissures in it, but crack the dam, then it's too late. This is what America is at. She has tried to paste up the fissures with Band-Aid instead of redoing the stuff. And now the cracks cannot be repaired. And we're seeing water rushing out, and the dam is about to burst. This you cannot deny, because we're showing you this, right? As a matter of fact, this is what he has to say. This is 2.5 minutes. I want you to listen to this. I know the time is running down. Listen to this.
Where that you invest your money, you have counterparty risk. With gold and silver, there is no counterparty risk. It is asset money. And Greg, this coming week, weeks going forward, I'm sure there's all kinds of margin calls that will be, forced selling, if you want to call it that. So this thing could become, a self-perpetuating spiral.
I mean, if the Fed does step in, it could be like the Alamo for them. They could get over, they don't have 5.5% or 5.25% like they did in 2007.
Right.
They didn't print massive trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, one professor pegged it at, they pumped in $29 trillion, all told.
Right.
They
don't, that's what I mentioned before. I mean, 0% is very close to where we are right now. They don't have the leeway that they had back in 2008, 2009. And they were lucky then to get away with it. The markets are going to call their bluff. And then that's pretty much what's already happened, is that the markets have called the Fed's, the central bank's bluffs.
You're telling us that there's no bottom here.
Basically, that's correct.
A bounce and a cliff dive into a pool with 2 inches of water.
That's a good analogy.
I interrupt you. What were you going to say? I interrupt your thing. I thought you were saying.
The global yield curve now is fully inverted. And I've mentioned this before, that we've had, in the U.S., we've had recessions before where there was no yield curve inversion prior. But we've never had an inverted yield curve that was not followed by a recession. And the problem now, we can't, the system, the financial system, won't be able to stand in a recession. There can be no reverse. It's either, like Richard Russell has always said, or had always said, inflate or die. If they don't inflate, the system will implode upon itself.
So they got to continue to get debt. That's why they are so in a mad dash to try to burn you with debt. Because the system is parasitic. It feeds off the misery of others. They must continue to blow the balloons up. And when that balloon is ready to pop, they got to try to blow up another balloon, because they got to expand the debt or the system stops. This is what the host of that of USA Watchdog said. He said, the Fed is like cliff diving, diving off a cliff into a pool with 2 inches of water. Now, how does that go with somebody? You dive off a cliff and 2 inches of water. See how that goes for you, right? See, this stuff that you guys overlook. But I hear everything that they're saying. And he said the market has called the Fed's bluff, right? According to the dictionary, call someone's bluff means challenge someone's thought to be bluffed. And in poker or brag, make an opponent show their hand that its value is weaker than their heavy betting suggests. So that's what's going on. So this is what you see happening right here in front of you, right before your eyes. The bluff has been called. And this goes back to something that I want to read to you before we go out of time. Let me read real quick. The black nation is under the guidance and guardianship of our God, the great Mahdi, who is the restorer, the defender of the black nation. He will restore and defend us. How is he going to do it? He's got to break that power of resistance, right? Muhammad says, there is nothing that the white race can think of in this day and time that is not already known by the God of the black nation. Therefore, the showdown will be victorious side of the God who knows that we can. He is power over us and over the atoms of the atmosphere. The attacker would have no power whatsoever to defend himself in a showdown against such a wise and powerful and great God, the great Mahdi. We bear witness of this. And on that note, brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I don't love you to death. Hell, we've caught death and hell all our lives here. I love you to life, but the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, who has come to us in the person of one, Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty Nation of Islam has for you. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I salute you, and I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I made.